Good morning and welcome to Cox Road Chapel. It's lovely to see you all. My name is Sukesh. I'm the pastor of the church here. And particularly if you're visiting, we give you a very warm welcome. Today is indeed a great day. I totally agree with what Alan said earlier, that this is perhaps the most important day for us as Christians. And this morning I want to try and explain why we are so excited about the resurrection. And we really are excited. This isn't something that we put on as a kind of a show. Believe me, when we as Christians wake up in the morning, a morning like this, and we think of this wonderful truth, that Christ rose from the dead, there's something wonderful and thrilling about it. The resurrection is a tremendous truth, and it is a truth, and it's a tremendous truth that shapes our lives. Now, what I would like us to do this morning is to turn in our Bibles to the passage which is at 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In the Pew Bibles, the Black Bibles, it's on page 961. Page 961, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses of this passage. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 11, page 961. Let us hear the word of God. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. In the country of Greece, right in the southern end, or at the southern tip of the country, there's a city called Corinth. It's still there. You can visit it. And it is full of course, ancient places, because it is a major historical place in Greece. And 2,000 years ago, in the city of Corinth, a hugely important event took place. A man called Paul the Apostle entered that city. Today we know him as Saint Paul, and some of the most famous buildings and cities in the world are named after him, Saint Paul's Cathedral and Sao Paulo in Brazil and so on. But this man Paul, 2,000 years ago, entered the city of Corinth, and he began to announce to the people of that city that he had brought good news to them. You notice at the beginning of this passage, he says, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel that I preached to you. The gospel, that word gospel means good news. So Paul enters the city of Corinth, and Paul begins to announce this, friends, I have good news for you. Now, today we've become very cynical, and so if a leaflet comes through your letterbox and it says in big writing, good news, I don't know about you, I put it in the recycling paper bin straight away. Or if you're watching television and an advert comes, good news, I immediately mentally switch off, because we are cynical and we think, really, there is no such thing as good news. All they want is my money, and they're finding some way of getting it. But this good news was no marketing gimmick. Paul really did have good news for the people of Corinth. He really had news that would completely change their lives, change their eternal destinies, change the way that they were and the way that they lived. This really was good news. And he tells us what this good news was. He says in verse 3, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. This, he says, was the good news that I brought to you, that a man called Jesus Christ died on a cross. And he was buried as proof that he really did die. He hadn't just fainted or anything like that. He really did die, and he was buried. And yet on the third day, he had been raised from the dead. They went to the empty tomb, as we read in John's Gospel. They went to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. The body that they had laid there was no longer there. Christ had been raised. And Paul says, this is the good news. Now, it's very interesting that some people in Corinth began to say there is no such thing as a resurrection. The human body doesn't experience resurrection. And so this is why Paul wrote this passage. Paul says to them, if you deny the resurrection of the human body, you're denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was human. And if you say that there is this law that the human body doesn't experience the resurrection, well, Christ, who was fully human, didn't experience the resurrection. And so he seeks to correct them in this passage. But what I want to do this morning is to look at this fact that Paul went into Corinth and said to them, I have good news, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And this morning I want to ask the question, why is it that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is good news? Why is it that when we are Christians, when we woke up this morning, we woke up with rejoicing in our hearts and we said, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Why is it when we came to this church this morning, we greeted each other and we said, happy Easter, he is risen. And the answer came back, he is risen indeed. Why is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ good news? Well, I have three reasons for you this morning, and I want to see how this is indeed tremendous news. The first thing, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is good news because it proves we have a great salvation. His resurrection proves we have a great salvation. Mike spoke earlier in the family talk about how the high priest coming out from the Holy of Holies alive was proof that God has accepted that sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus coming out from the grave alive is proof that his sacrifice on the cross was accepted. Because the cross and the resurrection, of course, belong together. And the resurrection gives meaning and purpose to the cross. On the cross of Calvary, when the Lord Jesus hung upon that cross, our sins were laid upon him. And he paid the penalty for our sins. What we owed to the law of God, what the justice of God demanded from us because of our sins, the penalty that God's law demanded from us, Jesus paid that penalty on the cross. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood that we who are unclean because of our sin might be cleansed. And the Lord Jesus on the cross shed his blood that we who are slaves of sin may be redeemed from that slavery. And he shed his blood that we who are alienated from God and not in fellowship with him, but strangers and aliens to him, he shed his blood that we might be brought into fellowship with him. We might be reconciled to him. We might be made his beloved children, that we might be accepted by God as his beloved children and people then who experience the wonderful blessings of God. Jesus did all this on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin. He cleansed us. He redeemed us. And he reconciled us to the Father through his blood. And when the Lord Jesus rose on the third day, that was God the Father saying that everything that he has done on the cross really has happened. He really has secured the salvation of his people. He really has secured the forgiveness of his people. His people really have been forgiven because I have accepted the sacrifice that he offered on their behalf. Christ's resurrection guarantees our salvation. And the Father, in raising him from the dead, says the blood that he shed really will cleanse his people from their sin and really will redeem them from slavery to sin and really will reconcile his people to me. This blood really is effectual. It really is the blood that was shed for the saving of his people. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves that we have a great salvation. Do you know, if you're a Christian here this morning, you love the Lord Jesus and you've put your faith in Christ, you trusted the Lord Jesus for your salvation, you have every reason to rejoice in your Savior today. You have every reason to say, hallelujah, I have a living Savior. And hallelujah, my sins really have been forgiven. They really have been washed away. And hallelujah, at one time when I was a slave of sin and being held by sin and totally controlled by sin, hallelujah, that slavery is gone because the blood of Jesus has redeemed me. And hallelujah, whereas at one time I was alienated from God and never knew God, today I'm a beloved child of God. I'm reconciled to him. And these blessings are eternal blessings because the death of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus are eternal truths. Christ lives today. And the fact that he lives today and the fact that he will live eternally is proof that our salvation is an eternal gift from God. If you're a Christian here today, you have every reason to raise your arms and to say, praise God, my salvation is secure. You have no reason to fear death. You have no reason to fear judgment. You have no reason to fear the anger of God. You have no reason to fear a day when God will say, oh, there are sins against your record. There are sins you have done, and because you've done these sins, you're in trouble. If you're a Christian, you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, that will never happen because Christ has secured your salvation. Christ has forgiven you your sins. Christ has washed you in his blood. Christ has redeemed you from slavery to sin, and Christ has reconciled you eternally to the Father. You today are the most blessed person on earth because you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your great Savior. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves that we have a great salvation. But perhaps you hear this morning, and as I speak these words, they sound rather strange to you. Because words like, have you trusted in the Lord Jesus? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus? Are you saved through faith in him? Perhaps such phrases are strange to you. Well, can I say this to you? The risen Lord Jesus Christ today stands with his arms wide open. And the risen Lord Jesus Christ today says to all who have never trusted in him, come. Come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The risen Lord Jesus says to all, regardless of who you are, regardless of what sins you've committed, regardless of how long you have rejected him, he says to you today, come and I will make you a Christian, a true Christian, a real Christian, born again, a child of God, headed for heaven. Why not today, if you've never ever fully trusted in Christ? Why not today, Easter Sunday? Why not say, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and I can experience resurrection because I can trust him today and be saved through him? Why not today come to him and be saved? So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is good news, because it proves we have a great salvation. Secondly, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is good news, because it shows us we have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. The Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven. And today he is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And what is he doing? Is he just sitting there, not doing very much? Is he just sitting there idly watching the events of the world? No. The Bible talks about him as our great high priest. There's a wonderful passage in the Bible. Would you like to turn with me to it? This is found in the letter to the Hebrews and chapter 4, page 1003. Page 1003 in the Bible, Hebrews and chapter 4. And right at the end of this chapter, from verse 14, Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I wonder today if you're feeling distressed, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling worried. I wonder today if you have health issues, and those health issues weigh upon you, and you're worried about these health issues. I wonder if today you have family issues, issues in your children, grandchildren, that cause you anxiety. And I wonder if you ever think to yourself, I wish there was somebody I could talk to. I wish there was somebody who would understand. You know, I wish there was somebody who would say, I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly how it feels, and I can help you. I wonder if you ever think that. Well, I want to say this to you. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have such a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. The writer to the Hebrews says, he passed through the heavens, he ascended into heaven. And the Lord Jesus today, in his resurrection body, is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Lord Jesus, says the writer to the Hebrews, is our great high priest. He says, we have a great high priest. And he says, this high priest was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. What he means is that he went through every experience in life that we go through. All the stresses, all the difficulties, all the issues of life, all the problems of life, the Lord Jesus went through them. He went through everything that we go through. Because you see, he was being trained to be our great high priest. This was God's intention, that he should be a caring, sympathetic, compassionate high priest to his people. And so the Lord Jesus today watches over us. I wonder if you've ever thought of this. If you're a Christian here this morning, you are at the center of his attention. Every one of God's people, millions and millions of Christians worldwide, but every one of them is at the center of his attention. He's got his gaze upon you. He's got his eyes upon you. He's watching over you. He understands you. He understands the difficulties, the issues, the problems, the anxieties that you go through. He understands every one of them. He knows every one of them through and through. He himself has been through every one of them. And he is a sympathetic high priest. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is not a high priest who is remote and distant and unable to sympathize, lacks emotional intelligence. No, he is a high priest who loves his people, who sympathizes with his people. And when his people are in distress, he comes alongside them and he comforts them. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he spoke about the Holy Spirit, about how he would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and how he would come in Christ's behalf, doing Christ's work to comfort his people. These are the great privileges that we have as Christians. On Wednesday evenings, we've been studying the life of Joseph. And it has come home to us again and again on Wednesdays about how God never ever abandons his people. How his people are never far from him. How they're never alone. And we've seen in the life of Joseph, this young man of 17 who was sold into slavery and was taken into Egypt and became a slave and then was in prison. And the text says again and again, but the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Wherever Joseph went, the Lord was with him. He was sold into Egypt. The Lord was with him. He was sold into slavery in Potiphar's house. The Lord was with him. He was put into prison on a false charge. The Lord was with him. He was made prime minister of Egypt. The Lord was with him. He was towards the end of his life coming to death. The Lord was with him. Now that's not because Joseph was special and different and God was dealing with him with more favor than he deals with all his other children. As we've studied Joseph's life, we've seen Joseph is an example of all of God's children. The experiences he had, all of God's children have. We all have God's presence with us. The Lord never ever abandons you. He will never walk away from you. He will never leave you. And whatever difficulty you go through, your high priest is there. He is sympathetic. He understands. And he does more than understand. Because this is what the writer to the Hebrews says. He says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you in need of help? Well, go to the Lord Jesus. Are you in need of mercy and grace? Are you in need of sympathy? Are you in need of someone who'll put his arm around you and comfort you and help you and actually really will help you? Well, the Lord Jesus is our sympathetic high priest. And he's full of compassion and full of mercy for his people. So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is good news. And it is good news because it shows we have a great salvation. It is good news because it shows we have a great high priest. And then thirdly and finally, it is good news because it shows we have a great hope. It is good news because it shows we have a great hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, the passage that I began with, Paul writes about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this in verse 20. He says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. What's he saying there? He's saying what has happened to the Lord Jesus will happen to all his people. This is what it means when he says Christ is the first fruits. He's saying what God the Father has done with the Lord Jesus, he will do with every one of his people. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have a great hope. What is your great hope? Your great hope is this, that one day your Savior is coming back. One day when your Savior comes back, if you've died by then, you will be raised to life just as he was raised to life. And when your Savior comes back, just as he was given a resurrection body, so you will be given a resurrection body. And just as he ascended into the Father's presence and is in the Father's presence for eternity, so you will be in the Father's presence in eternity. You will be with the Lord, enjoying his love, enjoying his grace and mercy. No sin to interrupt it. No sin to hinder your experience of God's love and God's grace. That is the great Christian hope, that with resurrection bodies, we will be with the Lord forever. Now, you know, as Christians here on earth today, we enjoy tremendous blessings. As Christians here on earth, we know the love of God. We know the Father loves us and the Son loves us. We know the grace of God. But we have sin in us, and sin hinders the full experience of that. We can't experience the love of God fully because we still have sin in us. Our minds are still influenced by sin and so on. Oh, but heaven isn't like that. Heaven is a place where there is no sin. Resurrection bodies. Bodies sown in dishonor and raised in glory. Sown in weakness and raised in power. And the resurrection body is an eternal body. And in eternity we will be with the Lord. And we will know his love. And there will be no sin to hinder it. And that love will fill our hearts with joy. We already have something of that experience here on earth. The joy of the Lord. And how the joy of the Lord fills our hearts. And that gives us a taste of heaven. Heaven is the place where that love will be in its full force with no hindrance. And our joy will be full joy with no hindrance. We will enjoy the Lord. We will enjoy his people. We will enjoy his love for us, and our hearts will be filled with rejoicing. When you read the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, every time it speaks about heaven, it speaks about how people in heaven are singing praises to their Lord. Heaven is one long praise service. And we will all join that. Those who are Christians here, when we get to heaven, we will join that choir. It doesn't matter if you can't sing. You will sing praises to the Lord, I promise you. Because your heart will be filled with joy. You won't be able to stop yourself singing to the Lord. Your heart will be filled with his love. Your heart will be filled with his grace and his mercy. You will see the glory of your Savior. You will see the glory of your Lord. And you will burst forth in song and sing praises to him and shout hallelujahs to him. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ shows that we have a great hope. And so this is why we as Christians, we rise on a morning like this and we say, hallelujah, he is risen. And incidentally, we say the same every morning. We don't have to wait for Easter Sunday to say, hallelujah, he is risen. We can say it tomorrow, Tuesday, next Sunday, the Sunday after, because the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed risen and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And because the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, we have a great salvation. We have a great high priest. And we have a great hope. Hallelujah. What a Savior.